Call to order the 14th meeting of the Board of Directors. We have a quorum present, and I believe Mr. Goning is not here today, but Mr. Costa will be voting on her behalf. Like a motion for approval of the agenda? Is there a second? Second, all in favor? Aye. The agenda is adopted. We have two executive sessions to certify. Call Ms. Hutchins to do that.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that the board executive session of January 14th, 2016, only such matters as authorized for discussion in executive session under Board Bylaws Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. And, Mr. Chairman, I so move and would ask that we add the January 28th to the same certification.
It moved and seconded. Is there a second for that?
Yes. Yeah.
Moved and seconded, and for both the meeting of the 14th and the meeting of the 28th, all in favor of the certification?
Aye.
Aye. Certification is done. We now have minutes. With respect to the last regular board meeting in December, and two executive sessions from the 17th of December and the 14th of January. Is there a motion to approve the minutes? Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Are there comments, corrections, or changes to the minutes that are requested? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Minutes are adopted. We'll move to public comment. We have 5, 6 individuals. I'll call on them in order. Can't read the first. Oh, a few more also. Daryl Brown on bus service. Mr. Brown here? If not, we'll go to Todd Brogan. Brogan here.
Good afternoon. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, my name is Todd Brogan. I'm a representative of the Amalgamated Transit Union, whose members operate on the Metro bus and rail services, but also Metro Access service across the capital region. For years, WMATA has understandably sought to reduce the cost of paratransit service, going so far as to outsource service from a multiple private operator. But as many Metro Access riders or workers can tell you, the pursuit of cheaper has not led to better. Instead, Metro Access workers suffer under companies that, as a policy, pay them poverty wages and benefits so costly that many of your employees rely on the social safety. As the NPA and the GAO have found again and again, these sweatshop-like conditions lead to high turnover, result in deteriorating service for riders. While the lack of dedicated funding contributes to mental illness problem, Metro Access continues to be treated as a third-class service. None of this is to say that Metro Access is the solution for all riders with disabilities. The principle that all modes belong to all people, be accessible to all, is one that needs to be strongly supported. That's why we're here today. But we do not want to see Metro Access jobs diverted from employees who have collective bargaining rights. We also have no good reason to oppose the development of a convenient and accessible alternative service. By accounts from riders and workers, Transport DC has been a popular and successful program. So hearing that proposals are being considered to hand over this wildly successful program to a transport network company like Uber or Lyft, we felt compelled to join our rider allies here today. TNCs, they seem attractive to any agency that is being financially starved by its company jurisdiction. But like any public agency, you pay for your priorities. If providing dignified, quality, accessible service to people with disabilities is a priority, then any move to involve transport network companies like Uber needs to be carefully considered and undertaken only with the strongest accountability measures. What message does it send to riders and workers that a public agency is seeking to hire a company that is in the courtroom every day, demanding that they shouldn't have to provide accessible rides, develop a good job, provide by local laws meant to provide? I need not recount years and multitude of crimes these companies have been accused of. forcing service animals into trunks, denying rights to women in labor, spending thousands of dollars right here in the District of Columbia to avoid providing accessibility data. TNCs have made clear that they seek to provide a premium service to the privileged owners. On the labor side, they refuse to recognize that many of their drivers are full-time employees and qualify for all the same rights and benefits. As you consider alternatives to paratransit, this union strongly urges you to listen to your riders and your workers. Demand strong accessibility and labor protections, and invest in the resources needed to enforce these protections to any private provider, TNC or otherwise. We also urge you to invest just as much consideration in how to preserve and improve door-to-door metro access service for those who need it and those who provide it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Heidi Case. Bring her the mic.
Good morning, Metro Board members, Mr. Wenfield, and Metro staff. I'm here to speak against the option of using TNCs for paratransit service. Dr. King wrote, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all, if even indirectly." The ADA is the premier civil rights legislation in America with people for disabilities and sets the standard for the International UN Treaty on the Rights for Persons with Disabilities. TNCs, Uber and Lyft included, claim they are not responsible to meet the civil rights guaranteed under the ADA. An example of that is in a lawsuit in San Jose, California, for refusing to transport passengers with guide dogs. If they are unwilling to accept that standard and refuse accountability to it, why would you award them revenue from public tax dollars to provide that service? In that court case, the judge approved the prosecution to pursue a claim that Uber is a travel service, and the DOJ weighed in similarly that they were liable under the ADA. Would WMATA consider awarding a contract to any other company that is specifically being sued for discrimination under the ADA? Would Metro partner with any other company that has a record of refusing to hold their drivers accountable to provide service to those with service animals or who need accessible vehicles? How can you therefore consider awarding them a contract that would require them to do both? Consider their legal quandary is if they were to hold their drivers accountable in this case, they would be setting themselves up for lawsuits around the rest of their country. The idea, their idea is to provide contract with others to do it. Separate, but we equal ain't. And the Supreme Court in Brown versus the Board of Education 60 years ago said separate, but equal is not acceptable. Please don't fail the disability community.
Thank you, Ms. Case. Beth Levine.
Good afternoon. My name is Beth Levy, and I'm a lead organizer with the National AFL-CIO. I'm representing the AFL-CIO and the taxi drivers of Montgomery County. Recently, drivers of Montgomery County fought and won new legislation that gave them the opportunity to start their own company, co-op, the Monco Union Taxi Co-op, a driver-owned and operated taxi fleet. What is unique about this fleet is that all of its 50 licenses are for wheelchair accessible vehicle WAVE. Drivers in Montgomery County pay $600 to $700 a week to rent their vehicles. The drivers form their co-op so they can be free from high rents, paid to companies, and they want to deliver quality, equal services to the whole community. Accessible vehicles are more expensive. A new Prius costs $19,000 and gets 58 miles per gallon. And accessible vehicle costs between $25,000 and $35,000 and gets 15 to 25 miles per gallon, and gas is probably about the second highest cost for a taxi driver. But we thought it was important to have this service to provide this kind of service to the whole community. We sought that we provide alternative transportation services to get customers of choice, like the successful DC transportation program, Transport DC. We discussed this with WMATA staff and elected leaders in Montgomery County, and we thought the discussions were moving forward at a good pace. We are concerned now that there's an interest in allowing Uber and Lyft to provide paratransit services. Neither of these have accessible vehicles on the road, nor have they agreed to abide by the requirements of the American Disabilities Act. Uber and Lyft will become another hand reaching into the pocket of drivers. The co-op, with more than 100 professional drivers, is committed to serving the whole community. We are working closely with vendors and expect to have these vehicles on the road in 6 to 8 weeks. The co-op is also committed to ensuring that our drivers receive training, provide safe, sensitive services.
Thank you. Could you sum up your time this
Sure.
run?
I'd just like to sum up by saying that that the priorities that we think that you should be looking at is to respect and respect companies that comply with ADA, quality, consistent, and service and safety, commitment to providing wheelchair accessible service to all of their customers in all areas that do business, improving working conditions that reduce driver turnover, and will support the growth of the local economy and small business.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nadia Ibrahim.
My name is Nadia Ibrahim. As Miss Wheelchair Maryland 2016, my role includes improving access for and understanding of the needs of people with disabilities through leadership, advocacy, and education. I live in Montgomery County, work in Washington, D.C., and regularly rely on Metro Access paratransit to get to my workplace and other places in the metro area. Accessible transportation is an essential component to maintaining my job as a senior policy advisor, living independently, and meaningfully participating in and contributing to society. I urge WMATA to establish an alternative paratransit program in the metro region, similar to Transport DC, that provides single, not shared, ride, door-to-door taxi service in sedans and accessible vans available within 1 hour of scheduling. Extending this popular program to residents of Montgomery County will ensure access to the same types of travel options available to residents throughout the region, regardless of disability status. Without question, it will also yield higher customer service and customer satisfaction. However, I believe that awarding a contract to a TNC, such as Uber or Lyft, would fail to sufficiently address the issues at hand. Presently, neither company has adequate access to wheelchair-accessible vehicles, nor have they demonstrated a widespread commitment for prioritizing compliance under the ADA. WMATA has the opportunity to dramatically improve the lives of people with disabilities in the region by ensuring equal access. I look forward to working with WMATA to implement an effective solution. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Ibrahim. Carol Tyson.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Carol Tyson. I am Director of Disability Policy for United Spinal Association for a National Disability.
Put the mic up.
WMATA staff recently stated in a blog post that WMATA will likely be partnering with Uber and Lyft to provide alternative paratransit services, as you heard before. In addition, there have been rumors that WMATA may be leaning towards allowing Uber and its competitors to provide paratransit service to providers without mobility. I urge you to consider the following. Advocates have called for Uber and its competitors to provide accessible service to all for the past 2 years. Uber and Lyft both continue to resist acknowledging that they need to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act, as referred. We are concerned about the working conditions and wages provided to private vehicle for hire drivers. We believe partnering with Uber and Lyft to provide paratransit service or alternative paratransit service only for those without mobility impairments would lead to the creation of a two-tiered paratransit system, to segregation and, likely, a lower cost of service for wheelchair users in the near future going forward. I have heard Uber and Lyft's lack of accessibility referred to as a wrinkle that will eventually get worked out and been told to be patient by council members and Uber and its spokespeople. My response is always that people aren't wrinkled. Neither is ensuring access for all. It should be a requirement from the start. A coalition of disability rights, labor, transit equity organizations, and individuals, some of whom have spoken today, will be submitting a letter, and I have a copy here for all of you today, to WMATA, expressing our support for alternative paratransit service. We are calling on WMATA to ensure a gold standard for accessibility and working conditions for any company providing public transit services. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak and for all that you do to ensure transportation is accessible for all.
Thank you, Ms. Tyson. Michael Sindor.
Good afternoon. Michael Sindor, you take the letter. The right call was made. As reported to express today, no higher penalties for crimes on public. Operators, station managers, and customers are assaulted. No, we need to have to be for the law. If you want to be the chair, we need to set the tone. Last but not least, what's your body? Take care of it. Apparently, she became 10 times. She missed. And what happened was, as she gets here, she was paid. So I had to listen to the service of United Ball and Sergeant Clay. And you know, this is the But anyway, it came down. And I'm holding in the end two slips. One was with the 8 cars. One was just an additional, only one. So 81 is 9, and there's still one that was not the same the fact that the clerk there, Ms. Jackson, is on the phone call, like, looking on her laptop computer, shopping her shoes, company time. This is not good. We need Ms. General Manager. I understand the clerk there should be, but they're not over the phone. We're still at the phone. We'd like to have outside General Manager was trying to see what's going on. There's no failure. And that's what's given rise to this. I understand there are two comments here. We'll go inside.
Thank you, Mr. Sundrum.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Robert Whitfield? I don't see him. Oh, there he is.
Chairman Downey, members of the board. First, you did a pretty good job in the snowstorm. I actually rode the metro, parked my car at the Westall Metro Garage for several days. And so thank you for that, because finding a parking place for ground is not easy. I'm Rob Whitfield. I'm with the Fairfax County Taxpayers Alliance. I've been in Washington for over 30 years. Started riding the metro in 1977. Didn't ride it for maybe 25, 30 years. Then started riding it once I turned 65.
Welcome back.
With the new management in place, there's an opportunity for new change. And unfortunately, too many times, things have been allowed to stay the way they are. 3 years ago at Easter, I met former Fairfax County Chairwoman Kate Hanley at Metro Center. I'd come downtown, I don't remember what for. I met her on the platform, and I said, you know, Kate, they still don't have the signage right in the system. You don't know whether you're going north or south, east or west. You don't know whether you're going to Maryland or Virginia. I said, 99 out of 100 people don't know where Glenmont or Greenbelt, all these places, not even New Calton. Those are not known to the people who visit this town. So you need some kind of signage system that says to help people, like, you know, Virginia, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, whatever. There needs to be some hierarchy of signage. Now, I came here, good trip from the Dave Snyder of Falls Church, the vice mayor. They must have known that I was getting on East Falls Church because the train driver actually opened the door to let me on. Unfortunately, coming on the red line, we had about a 20-minute delay. So you need what I call a good idea opportunity panel. Each one of you has good ideas. You need to make those ideas work. And so, Chairman Downey, good luck in your ending of your term.
Thank you, Mr. Whitfield. That completes our request for public comment. At this point in the agenda, we normally take the opportunity to honor some very special Metro employees, and I will do that in a minute. But before I do, I would like to, on behalf of all my colleagues, point out that all our employees over the past several days have been extraordinary in their performance through the blizzard. They've worked tirelessly around the clock to restore this vital transportation service to our customers and to the region, and we appreciate their efforts in getting the system up and running and as safely and as quickly as possible. And I would like to commend all of the Metro staff for their dedication to our customers. Now back to the agenda. Today, as part of our Years of Service program, the board and Metro leadership are recognizing Mr. Oswald Pang, a Metro employee who has been with the authority for 40 years. We actually were supposed to have two 40-year employees this month. One of them couldn't be here today. We will pick up him at a later event. But before we get to the presentation, I would like to say a few words about Mr. Pang, who I will now ask to stand. Mr. Pang was hired in 1976 as a Metro bus operator out of the Northern Bus Garage. He then transferred to the Montgomery Bus Division, where he worked for 7 years. In 2006, he became a station manager, and I like your station manager uniform. Glad to see that. And he has served the customers at our Shady Grove station for the last 9 years. Mr. Pang, thank you for your dedication, your commitment to Metro. We are grateful for decades of outstanding, exemplary, and steadfast service to our customers and to your fellow employees. I'd like you to join me, along with the general manager in the center of the room, for a presentation and a photograph. Now hear the report of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you very much. Oh, I guess this mic does work sometimes.
For some.
First thing I'd like to say is thank you very much for the work that was done on clearing the bus stops, the railway, and making sure that individuals could use the subway system and the bus systems. I think that we've seen extraordinary effort, and I would like to, and members of the AAC would like to commend Metro for the fine work that they've done, making the system accessible in such short time. So congratulations there. I would encourage the bus stops that still need to be dug out to be dug out, and also the sidewalks that go up to those bus stops. Anything that can be done to encourage those sidewalks to be cleared would be greatly appreciated. People with disabilities like myself don't want to walk in the middle of the street to go up to a bus stop that may or may not be cleared. So I think that's a hazard, and if we can make that a priority, that would be extremely useful. And I would appreciate that, and I know the AAC also would. You've heard this morning a lot of discussion on alternative transit measures that are going forward. I'd like to remind the board that the AAC is your committee, and I'd like to also indicate to you that concerning this whole issue, over the last month, we have had meetings at the AAC where we've had Carol Tyson, Beth, and Heidi, and members of the public come to talk to the AAC and to WMATA in general about moving forward in that direction. We're still in the requirements gathering phase. I think we all agree that if there are alternative systems that are put forward, that they need to be accessible, they need to meet certain requirements, and the AAC is in the process of putting together meetings to gather those requirements. So if we decide to move forward in that direction, that we will have sufficient requirements out there that will meet the needs of all people, particularly people with disabilities. So any direction that you would care to give to the AAC, we're happy to receive it. But I just wanted you to know that we are well aware of the initiatives that are going on, and that we are talking to the individuals and engaging them and making sure that whatever comes out of the AAC is a coordinated, well-researched package which will meet needs of people with disability. On a couple of other areas, we're still looking at the emergency gate situation, the locking of the emergency gates. The AAC has a recommendation going forward indicating that we don't feel that the locking of the emergency gates is something that should be done. We understand the issue with respect to fare evasion, but we think that the locking of emergency gates is a safety issue, which I think is higher on the priority list than let's say, a fiscal fare evasion. So we would recommend that be reversed, that pilot be stopped, and that practice be reversed. And then lastly, regarding a communications issue, we heard very definitely from the deaf community and the cognitively impaired that communication within the metro stations need to be improved. And we're recommending, and I think this is in our board report, that the stations be outfitted with whiteboards and markers so that information in a very non-technical form can be made available to those people who are deaf so that they can be communicated to effectively. I think this is an area that has been lacking in as far as WMATA is concerned. I think the deaf community is part of the community that we could do a better job of serving and getting the information out to that deaf community, because a lot of what we hear is auditory, and I think we're not doing justice to that community. Those are the things we're working on. We do also, and I know the RAC will be up next, but I'm excited to be working jointly with the RAC on several projects this year. I think you're going to see some joint projects, joint recommendations coming out of RAC and AAC. So I think that's going to be a new initiative for 2016, and I appreciate members of the RAC who are working with the AAC to make these things happen. Can I take any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Sheehan? If not, thank you for the report, and we look forward to engaging with you and the entire AAC as we look to make our services affordable and as effective as possible.
Thank you.
Writers Advisory Council report, Ms. Hermanson. Pick up the mic a little so we can hear you. Point it up. That's good. Yeah.
Okay. I hardly know where to begin. I said a very fond farewell at the December board meeting. I was 100% convinced that I would be passing the RAC chair's baton to any of several very bright stars that have joined the RAC last year, too. But then three of our brightest stars announced they've been off. A couple of them now, one of them to a new responsibility they won't be able to be on the RAC. I have to admit, I failed miserably in convincing any of the other stars, the future leaders, the emerging leaders that belong, that being the RAC chair was wonderful and great. So here I am again, back to haunting for another year. One more year to hell, Michael. So on to what the RAC is doing in January. We were lucky to have Mr. Winfield. There he is. Okay. Thank you for joining us. Introduce yourself to the RAC members at our January meeting and their priority perspective. Great to have. And also at our January meeting, we welcomed our seven new RAC members for the year. Jason Vinter did a fine job. Good help of groups, great candidates. And then thanks to the board for approving, appointing those is another very promising freshman class. We also elect our vice chair. Bob Fogle will be continuing as vice chair for Carolyn. We have a new vice chair for DC. It's Thaddeus Johnson and Brandon Ambrose on Nelson. Who from Fairfax. So we also have formed New Year's edition of our standing city and all four met already in January. They started assembling a slate of work and initiatives for the year. We have at least one probably more issues with our budget committee has already met with Dennis Anasque to get tutored on where the 2,000 the various are now. Next week at our full back meeting, we'll be looking across all of our and then we'll be consolidating presenting also, at our members sharing perspectives about last week's snowstorm, I personally was very impressed on extraordinary planning and certainly the incredible demand. So, your packet today has my written report for January, which touches briefly on our January work. Primarily, it's our year end recap of practice. Broken into three areas. We have some work requested by staff. We have some research by the RAC. And we also have. So if you're new to the work, staff, audience, and or if you're not new, that's like fill in the blank.
Any questions for Ms. Hermanson? Yes, Mr. Bulger.
How come Mr. Fogle didn't step up and be chair of the RAC?
I did see.
He's vice chair, and he didn't take the bait.
Sorry.
I'll work on him.
Wake him up. He'll still get another chance.
Yeah, I'd want to ditto what Mr. Bulger said. I want to see Fogle here.
Thank you, and look forward to our home.
I hope we're not underestimating the value we have with you returning, though.
Right. 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 And we look forward to seeing you next month at the executive committee meeting. Next item of business is the chair's report. I have the distinct pleasure of formally welcoming Christian Dorsey and Paul Smedberg to the Metro Board as the new alternate directors representing Arlington and Alexandria, respectively. Many of you saw them here 2 weeks ago at the committee meetings. They did jump into their jobs as quickly as they could in anticipation of today's ceremony. They are filling the seats vacated by Mary Hines and Bill Ewell. And I'll begin with Christian Dorsey. Christian was elected to the Arlington County Board this past November. He represents Arlington not only on the WMATA Board, but serves on the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments and the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission. Christian is a senior leader at the Economic Policy Institute, a think tank that promotes economic policies that foster broadly shared prosperity. He is also a diversity and communications consultant and has helped many colleges and universities, schools, community groups, NGOs, and government agencies become more aware of the impact of unintentional bias in their work. He also volunteers in his community, has served on the boards of directors of the Arlington Free Clinic, A-SPAN, Leadership Arlington, Arlington Independent Media, and several county board advisory commissions, and we are looking forward to having his leadership and his policy expertise on this board. I would ask that Mr. Dorsey step to the center of the room to formally swear him into his new role.
I, Christian Dorsey, do hereby solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution. That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia and the Constitution of the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia, from which I was appointed as office director of the board, office director of the board, Washington Metropolitan Area, the Washington Metropolitan Area, and faithfully discharge the duties of the office of
Now for Mr. Smedberg. Paul was first elected to the Alexandria City Council in 2003 and was reelected for a fourth consecutive term in November 2012. He's continued to represent the city on a variety of commissions, task forces, and organizations reflecting diverse areas of community concern and endeavor. He serves on the city's pension subcommittee, the Waterfront Commission, in the Inova Alexandria Hospital Task Force. He remains committed to a clean and safe environment and has constantly been a strong voice for the arts on the City Council. He supports the ongoing economic vitality and viability of the Alexandria business community and continues to serve on the Marketing Coordinating Council and as a board member of the Alexandria Convention and Visitors Association. In recognition of the growing traffic issues and demand for local and regional transit and transportation options, Paul seeks regional solutions to these issues as Alexandria's representative not only to the WMATA Board, but also the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission and the Virginia Railway Express Operations Board. As a resident of Alexandria for nearly 27 years, Paul has a distinguished history of service and leadership with area nonprofits and local and civic homeowners association, and we're looking forward to having his leadership, regional focus, and policy expertise on this board. And I would ask that Mr. Smedberg step to the center of the room so I can formally swear him into his new role. And the Constitution and the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia, from which I was appointed as an alternate director of the board of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority. That's the hard part. And will faithfully discharge the duties of the office upon which I am about to enter. Now there's one other group of outstanding Metro employees we'd like to recognize. At this month's Customer Service and Operations Committee, our Chief Performance Officer, Andrea Burnside, updated us on the progress of staff work to develop a new and customer-focused KPI to measure rail customer travel time. This is an important step forward in being a customer-focused organization. This KPI will measure how our customers actually use the system and provide a new personalized travel time score that they can track using registered smart trip cards and our website to better plan their individual and actual travel times. Metro Rail becomes the first subway system in the United States to have this capability. The foundation of this work was recently recognized by the Transportation Research Board, which is an arm of the National Academy of Sciences. Staff submitted a research paper which competed against thousands of other research efforts and was awarded the singular and prestigious Bill Millar Award as the best paper of the year. I understand staff from multiple departments collaborated and worked together to make this possible. I'd like to recognize the named co-authors of the TRB paper, Travel Time Reliability, Shifting the Focus from Vehicles to Customers. Those three named authors were Rick Harcum of the Performance Office, Yvonne Carney of the Performance Office, and Justin Antos of the Planning Office. But many other staff were part of this effort in supporting the research, the development, and importantly, the implementation of this new measure. Jordan Holt in the Performance Office, Michael Eichler in Planning, Beth Durham in Information Technology, Mary Kay Vavasour in Information Technology, Jason Mincer from Customer Service, and David O'Toole from the Chief Engineer's Office, automatic fare collection equipment. This is a major accomplishment for our riders, but also within the industry, this is really precedent setting for what can be done to measure and improve on customer service. I'd like to give a round of applause to these employees. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Wiedefeld for the CEO report.
One of my my major folks here.
The investments in replacing it or rebuilding the Metro's escalators has yielded positive results for our customers. In 2015, the Metro's escalator availability rate reached 93.3%, the best annual performance in 5 years. One other issue that I've been working on is to recruit and hire a new transit safety, a chief safety officer. We have begun those interviews, and hopefully we'll be making a decision on that fairly soon. I also did want to give you an update on the Miller Lite Ride Free promotion that we held on New Year's Eve. That promotion went very well. The ridership was up 10% year over year because of that promotion. Rail actually was up 21%. It shifted a little bit from the bus, but the net increase was 10%. The promoter was very pleased with it, and we're hoping to work with them in the future as well. One other thing you may have noticed, we did launch a new local TV show earlier this month. We debuted Metro Focus. It's a monthly TV show airing on all local public broadcasting stations in the region. And basically, it features local destinations that you can reach by Metro Rail, Metro Bus. It profiles the business, the community it serves, and just reinforces how important transit is in the overall community. Before concluding my remarks, I did want to turn to spotlight one of our employees, Metro Station Manager Anthony Wright, if you could stand. And you can come up to the center, sir. He demonstrated heroic actions when he rushed through an aid of a pedestrian in December. On Wednesday, December 16, 2015, at approximately 6:30 a.m., a pedestrian was dropped off by his spouse in an eastbound Wheelie Avenue off-ramp of the Dulles Toll Road. The pedestrian was attempting to cross the off-ramp in order to access the bus bay at Wheelie Reston East Station and was struck, unfortunately and tragically, by a car at a high rate of speed. Bystanders at the busy bus bay immediately rushed to the aid of the victim, who was critically injured and in cardiac arrest. Noticing the commotion, Center Station Manager Anthony Wright requested medical assistance and immediately responded to the incident with the station's first aid kit and the AED. Mr. Wright, with the assistance of bystanders, provided CPR while waiting for the arrival of Fairfax County Fire and Rescue teams. Once emergency responders arrived and took over the patient care, Mr. Wright assisted Fairfax Connector Bus Terminal Supervisor with traffic control until the bus terminal was able to be reopened. He also provided calm and comfort to the victim's spouse, who was obviously very emotionally distraught still at the scene. Today, we applaud Station Manager Wright, who afforded the victim with the best chance of survival due to the quick action of his response and emotional support for his family. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks. I'd like to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Witteveld, and we'll move to the business part of the agenda. I'll call on Mr. Evans for the report of the Finance and Administration Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. The following actions were referred to the board at the January 14th meeting of the Finance and Administrative Committee. Claims Liability Fund. Staff sought board approval to update and consolidate prior board resolutions regarding the third-party claims reserve fund into a comprehensive claims liability fund. This action will provide direction regarding the use and administration of the claims liability fund, will provide clarity by defining previously undefined terms, and will continue the limited indemnification for Metro Access contractors while providing flexibility to the CFO to ensure that risk. So I'd like to move approval at this time. Is there a second?
Moved and seconded. Voting members of the board.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, the second item is the budget public hearing. Staff sought board approval to advertise and hold a public hearing on the FY 17 to 22 Capital Improvement Program, or the CIP, as required by the Federal Transit Administration. The committee directed staff that the hearing and associated outreach should also solicit public feedback on Metro's proposed FY 17 operating budget. As provided in your board materials, staff have included proposed language to amend the resolution as well as a new attachment B summarizing the operating budget in response to the committee's direction. I move approval of the item along with the proposed amendments and the new attachment. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can I go back? Ms. Golden had a comment.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I support this motion. I just want to take a minute to note that before the great blizzard, I wrote a letter to the general manager and the chief financial officer asking them to include in consideration during the hearing for comment a proposal I will be making to add $30 million to the capital improvement program for FY 2017 for worthy local projects that would be nominated by local jurisdictions. $10 million would be arranged for Maryland, supposed worthy projects, $10 million for the district, and another $10 million for Virginia. To give you an idea of what I have in mind, in Montgomery County, we've been very anxious to see a second stairway escalator built at the Shady Grove station, and I didn't realize Mr. Peng was going to be here today from Shady Grove, but he can certainly attest to the need for a second exit point from the platform. That would be both a matter of passenger convenience and a matter of safety as well because of the crowding on the platform. So that's the type of proposal that I could see as a worthy local project. I would, of course, welcome the general manager including this as part of his budget when it comes up for hearing, but if he chooses not to, at least I would like that to be available for parties to comment on during the hearing process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Goldman. Any further comment? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And I think I'm going to jump the order here and do the administrative items first and then governance committee. We have two administrative items that have not been to committees, but the board has been provided a background on those, and we'd like to adopt them. One is the authorization.
Mr. Downey, we skip the governance report. Can you do the governance report first? The governance report?
We're going to go back to that.
Oh, you're going back. Okay.
Yeah. Authorization to apply for Virginia CMAQ funds for bus purchases. Any questions about that? Do we have a motion for that?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And second, authorization to negotiate and execute a project construction agreement for the Purple Line. Do we have a
so
motion?
Moved.
And second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Ms. Golden, you got
a comment? Yes, could I just make a comment for purposes of the public at large and the media? I just want to make clear that the Purple Line is, of course, not part of the Metro system. It is being constructed and built 100% by the Maryland Transit Administration, by Maryland taxpayer funds with some support from the federal government. But I should point out that the Purple Line will be an integral part of the Washington Metropolitan Area Transportation System. It will run west to east from Bethesda on the red line through Silver Spring through College Park on the green-yellow line, terminating on New Carrollton in the blue line. And so it will become an essential part of the metro system because people will be intersecting and moving back and forth between the legacy metro system of heavy rail and the purple line light rail system when it's completed in 2019 or 2020. So I encourage you to support this kind of project construction agreement for the purple line.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion's carried, and I'll recognize Mr. Costa to provide the report of the Governance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. The following action was referred to the board at this morning's meeting of the Governance Committee. Board officer nominations. Article 3 of the board's bylaws provides for the annual election of a chair, vice chair, and second vice chair. The Governance Committee is responsible for nominating these officers to the board. After thoughtful consideration, the committee approved a slate of officers for 2016 at its meeting this morning. In addition to the slate, Mort Downey will serve as the immediate past chair officer on the board's executive committee. Now, I move that the following individuals serve as the board's 2016 officers. Chair, Jack Evans. Vice chair, Katara Harley. Second vice chair, Jim Corcoran.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
I'll second. Any comments or questions?
Some suspense for them.
Discussion? Hearing none, all voting members in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Our new slate is elected. And before I turn the gavel over to Mr. Evans to conclude the meeting, a couple of comments about the past year, which I've enjoyed thoroughly sometimes, not thoroughly all the time. It's been a difficult year for all of us from a service standpoint and a lot of other factors, but I think the board has done well in a number of areas where we've worked together. We adopted a budget for FY16 without a fare increase. If you remember, a year ago we thought we would need a fare increase to get through fiscal 16. We found a way around that. We found a way to exercise the option to buy an additional number of 7,000 series cars that we very much need to improve service. We have put in place a couple of important advisory contracts that we labored over to get support for the board in undertaking a lot of things that we should perhaps have looked at for many years, but are going to look at now. And most importantly, we unanimously agreed on a new CEO who will take those advisory contracts and those ideas and help us put them in place, help make WMATA a better place. And over the last few days, we've come through a pretty difficult experience of keeping the system running and back up and running over difficult weather conditions. I hope that's an indication that we can keep the system running night, day, good days, bad days. The important thing is that we get service out there for our customers and we work to improve the region. And I appreciated the opportunity to be the chair, and I appreciate the opportunity to pass the gavel on to Mr. Evans.
Thank you very much, Mr. Downey, and I would like to take a moment to recognize Mort for his leadership over the past year. I think we all recognize that this has been a challenging year for Metro and that serving as chair has demanded a great deal of energy and time. And under Mort's leadership, the board has come together to appoint a new GMC CEO and rededicated its focus on safety and financial oversight, as well as engaging in direct outreach with our stakeholders and customers. We'll have a more formal recognition at next month's board meeting, but I did not want to miss this moment to pass without acknowledging Mort's great service to this organization. Thank you, Mort.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
You have to buy the second round of drinks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we'll have reports by jurisdictions, starting with the District of Columbia. Mr. Price.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would like to take this opportunity to express my sincere appreciation on behalf of the District of Columbia for the outstanding work, board, and leadership that the board has provided to all of us. Quite frankly, board, I know I was a pain in the rear end during the chairmanship, but we do appreciate your fairness and your effectiveness in terms of bringing us together and moving the organization forward. So again, on the behalf of the district, I would like to thank you for your leadership and your guidance through this process. Wish you well.
Thank you.
Thank you. No report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Price. WSTC, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the adoption of the Purple Line motion indicates, the Purple Line is coming. Hopefully, sometime in the next 30 days, the state will be able to announce the selection of the contractor who will construct, build, and then operate the Purple Line. And actual construction, keeping our fingers crossed, can begin sometime over this summer. So Purple Line is coming. We'll work together with it for Vermont, and it's on the way. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Goldman. NBTC, Mrs. Hudgens.
Thank you. Before I mention NBTC, I'd like to take a moment to thank Mr. Costa for his work on the governance committee. He stepped in as Ms. Hines stepped out, and we were at the end of our trail of trying to get through a lot of the work, and he did shepherd us through that, and it was very much appreciated, the manner in which he did it and the success of it. So thank you very much, Mr. Costa, and he must be continuing in that role, Mr. Evans. But I'd like to share that, as I noted last month, we said that the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission would be partnering with us with the outreach at the stations about listening to the customers. And I want to thank Mr. Wiedefeld and the other WMATA staff who've joined us, and Mr. Cochran there. It's a very successful event, and I think it's an opportunity for us to continue to model it. We heard a lot from the customers, and it was just a week before the holiday that they were willing to come out all the way to the other end of the service to talk about what is needed. So I think we've seen a good model with NBTC. I'm sure it can happen in other places, but I think it needs to happen on a more frequent basis. It's the only way to really keep in contact with our customers, and they've built a very good model. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We also received a very thoughtful report put together by the NBTC based on their outreach, and I think all of us should be looking at that for future guidance. Federal government, no report.
Okay, thank you very much, and I want to take this opportunity to thank the Metro staff again for the fabulous job they did over the last several days during this very difficult snowstorm. Metro really rose to the occasion, got a lot of accolades, and I think that's the message we want to send going forward. Metro's a great organization, and I want to first take this opportunity to thank all of my colleagues here on the board for their trust and faith in me in electing me as the next chairperson. I really do appreciate it. I'm very committed to Metro. It's an outstanding organization, and we are all going to work together to really work with our new general manager, Paul, and really make Metro the great organization we know it can be. So, again, thank you very much. And in the words of Hill Street Blues, be careful out there. Meeting's adjourned.
Congratulations.